Well, this morning I want us to look at Luke chapter 21 and particularly at the verse number 19 where we read, "In patience, possess ye your souls." It's one of those phrases that helps us to keep on going when we're in the midst of trying and difficult times. You know, of course, that it's said that there's a Chinese curse, whether it's true or not. The ones who do their investigations into these things often question whether it did actually originate in China, but the curse is quite an odd one because it sounds at first glance as if it's a blessing. It's asking that you might live in interesting times. And of course, what it's saying is that interesting times are difficult times, trying times, times when you would find yourself almost overwhelmed, times of war, times of trial, times of upheaval. Well, that may be viewed a curse by the world, and understandably so in a good measure. But we were told by our Savior that in the world ye shall have tribulation. It doesn't matter what period we are born into. It doesn't matter which place we find ourselves in this world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Christ has overcome the world. And therefore we have that encouragement that we are, despite everything we face, able to throw our whole hope and confidence on the one who is in control of everything. He's overcome the world. All the vicissitudes, all the difficulties, all the things that seem so unexpected to us, don't take him by surprise. And here in this passage in Luke 21, we see the Lord telling of those times that are to come when great and trying things shall come to pass. And he says in the midst of it all, as he is seeking to encourage his people, he says, "In patience possess ye your souls." Why? Because there are going to be great earthquakes, diverse places, famines, pestilences, and all these other things. There's going to be nations rising against nations. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars. There's going to be all sorts of things that will cause you to feel as if you just want to give it all up. As if things have become too much, and you say, well, that would have been fine if I'd been born in another day, another generation, when things were easier, things were better, but now it's just too much for me. My friend, there's never been a generation for God's people when they haven't had that temptation. And there never will be until Christ comes back again. So here the Lord is speaking to his people to encourage us to keep going in the midst of the most difficult and dangerous of situations. When he says here, "In patience possess ye your soul," he's speaking of the ability to endure in the midst of great trial. That's the whole context, as we see there in that passage. And you, as you go through Scripture, you find both in the Old Testament and the New, normally it's my way, I normally have a reading from the Old Testament and then one from the New, but I just thought I would just change it a little today, and we took one from the Gospel and one from the final book of the Bible, Revelation, and there we see, wherever you turn in Scripture, God's people are going through trials and trouble and persecution, and sometimes it seems just overwhelming. But just as the Savior could speak to his people there in Luke 21, and as he reminds John on the Isle Patmos, as he is showing him something of a picture of what's to come for the church, you need not fear, you need not give up, you need not allow the trials and tribulations to overwhelm you. We're called here to be those who are patient, that is, to endure the difficulties. The idea of patience is really to outlast the troubles that afflict you. It's a word that has the understanding that, literally it says, to remain under is literally, I suppose, if you were to take the Greek words apart and put them, it would be to remain under. And so, not to run away, not to flee, not to try and hide, but to just keep on keeping on. To be faithful in the midst of everything that seems to be falling to bits around you. To be strong in the strength that Christ supplies in order to be a witness in the midst of the most difficult and awe-inspiring of circumstances. And so we are called upon to outlast the trials that come to us, because ultimately, I suppose if you look back in the Psalms, you remember in Psalm 66 and in verse number 12, there's that encouragement with regards to the way in which God's people will outlast what comes their way. Thou hast caused men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Ultimately, whatever we go through in this world, whatever the generation, whatever the situation, God's people will come out into blessing. And therefore, they're being encouraged here to keep on going, to endure and to overcome the trials, to not let the trials overwhelm them so that they become subject to the power of the trial. But the power of the trial is like the power of the storm battering upon the rock, but the rock outlasts it and the storm eventually blows out and the rock remains. Well, of course, we have a rock that we are settled upon, and in him and through him we are able to outlast all the storms and all the trials of this life, to survive them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4, but in all things, approving yourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Ministers, elders, deacons, often there are trials and troubles that come your way which are particular because of the office you hold within the church. Don't give up. Don't allow them to so overwhelm you that you decide, I can't take any more. Keep on going. Survive despite all the attacks of our enemy, Satan. Keep on going on. Not only to survive, but even to strengthen us through them. In Romans chapter 5, we're told not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience and so on. Patience actually is the result of the tribulations endured and overcome. And so as we are enabled by those tribulations that we go through, you remember in the process of hardening steel, they use fire and ice. And the fire's needed. And the ice is needed. And if you were the pieces of metal going through, first of all, the raging heat, then the punishing cold from one to the other and back again and back again. But ultimately, the process brings a strengthening, a hardening, and able to endure and overcome so that in the battle it won't break. And in the time of testing, it will be found to be strong beyond all expectation. My friend, when trials come your way and you're saying, what's God doing? Another one? I thought the last one was big enough. I thought the fires we endured before, now we're going through the floods. What is it? Strengthening. Not just enduring, but actually maturing and strengthening through that endurance. So here is Christ, and he's saying to his people, to you and to me in every generation, in patience, in that enduring under the difficulties and the trials that we go through, possess ye your soul. Romans 8 and 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We wait for it even though we can't see the outcome. We can't see where the release is coming. We look around and we see nothing but the serried ranks of our enemies mustering to afflict us again. We see our troubles multiplying before our very eyes almost exponentially, and we wonder how on earth are we expected to endure it. And patience possess ye your souls. Through the enduring of these things, Christ is strengthening and enabling, equipping us to be all that we might be for him, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, Colossians chapter 1. It's through these things that we are strengthened to be what we can be and should be for God. The very trials are the medium, the means by which we are enabled to be made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He takes us through those, not simply as some sort of torture, but as a means of strengthening us and equipping us to be a bright and shining witness for him. Not only outlast the trials, but overcome the opposition. Isn't it true that sometimes the ungodly seem to just smirk? We've got the upper hand. There's more of us. We're richer. We're stronger. We don't care what you Christians say. That's the way they sort of treat you. But ultimately, he has set their feet in slippery places. Ultimately, the victory is the victory of God's people. And therefore, there will be that strengthening that will enable us to overcome all that we endure so that we ourselves glory in you. In the churches, said Paul to the Thessalonian believers, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. It wasn't one of these health and wealth prosperity preachers who said, you'll have it easy all the time. He said, no, we glory in the way God enables you to overcome. And to be one who is able to be more than conqueror through Christ. So with regards to our trials, we are to endure even the most trying of circumstances, but we're to do it in a way that shows an earnest diligence to still be all that we can be for Christ. You see, we're not just a sort of batten down the hatches, hide in our bunkers and wait till it all passes over. We're to keep on living for God. We're to keep on shining for the Lord. In patience, in that willingness to endure all that we face, to maintain our soul's welfare, not by succumbing to all of these things like the world whose hearts are failing them for fear, but through grace, growing and flourishing and maintaining a faithful witness for Christ. You see, that's the thing about the trials we go through. We're not just to hide away and try and hope that somehow we'll miss out on the worst of them. We are to show personal patience. One writer, Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said, adopt the pace of nature. Her secret is patience. Now, whatever else, we understand the aspect with regards to having patience, to not wanting to see everything instantly. Our generation is one that's afflicted by an affliction of instantaneous provision of just what we want, when we want, how we want. If you want a curry, you phone a certain number, you press your app, if you have those things, and you get it to come to your door. You don't need to cook. You don't need to go out and shop for anything. They just bring it to you. No hassles. But we are called to overcome, and more than that, to maintain our faithfulness in the midst of a world where the world is thinking that if anything difficult comes their way, they just give it up. They can't endure, they can't bear these things. I think, unfortunately, we've trained a generation or two, maybe, to expect everything easy. Generations before us endured world wars and came out of them stronger at the end. What we see nowadays, we can barely endure anything. In patience possess ye your souls. Show personal patience with regards to avoiding sin. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. There, Timothy is being encouraged to be a godly man in the midst of the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties. To make sure that he doesn't use the troubles as an excuse for failing or for doing that which he shouldn't do. Man of God, woman of God, child of God, in patience possess ye your soul. Live for Christ despite what the rest of the world is doing. Live in holiness and faithfulness to God. Show that patience in enduring, and more than that, in doing all that is right. Be diligent and earnest in your diligence. Not only avoiding what's wrong, but attaining all the blessings that are good. For ye have need of patience, we're told in Hebrews, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Ultimately, that's the blessing we have in heaven. But it's every blessing along the way we receive through patient endurance, through not giving up, through maintaining that diligence in the midst and in the face of all sorts of opposition and difficulty. And what's more, as you do it, it enables you to achieve that maturity which, as a believer, you should wish. I believe that's one of the great things when you see a mature Christian. You see their patience. It's taken them a lifetime to gain. And often young Christians look at these older believers and they say, you know, I wish I was godly like so-and-so or such-and-such. Say, do you realize what they went through? For the sweetening of the ripening process that occurred in their lives. The frosts of difficulty that came to their family circumstances, and they remained faithful to God in the midst of it all. Do you understand the trials that they came through to be the shining saints that they are now? Oh, I wish it for you too. But be aware of the path that leads to that. For if you sit down and talk with those old saints for any length of time, they'll tell you of trials aplenty. They will not tell you of unending, unfettered joy. They will tell you of things that they have had to endure and through grace overcome. And that's where the strength and the sweetness came from. That's where the fruitfulness that you see as they bear fruit in old age came from, as they set their roots deep in Christ in the midst of trial and tribulation. So, my friend, in patience possess ye your soul, with earnest diligence, seeking to show personal patience and public patience too. You think of the prophets Those who showed their faithfulness to the Lord in previous generations, declaring the word, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He hath long patience for it until he receive or the early and the latter rain. There are things that need to occur for the harvest to flourish in the way that it is best served and in the way that will make it all that it should be. And the farmer knows that. He doesn't just pop the seed into the ground and the next day come along with the combine to gather it all up. There's a process, there's a requirement of time. We understand that in the physical, in the earthly, in the agricultural world, but in our spiritual world, there's a process that's required to be all that we can be and should be for God. And there's no short-circuiting of that process. There's no easy, quick fix. There's no app you can press to get it instantly as you would wish. Or second blessing as you walk down the aisle to try and get it in that way. No, my friend, it is that which in patience you possess your soul, you trust in Christ, you endure, you overcome the difficulties, and you remain faithful in the midst of all so that those strengths and sweetnesses nurture and mature within you. And almost unseen by you, others start to witness a change that God makes in the life of his people as in patience they possess their soul, as in the midst of trial they keep on going, and more than that, they show themselves faithful. Not only doing those things which enable others to see the reality of it, but practically, just doing what's right. Doing what's been done generations before. You remember in Hebrews chapter 12, there on the back of that glorious chapter 11, where all the practical outworkings of the life of faith are shown, along with some of the great difficulties those who were persecuted saw in asunder and so on. But in the midst of it all, he comes to the end of that, the conclusion of that great chapter of the faithful. And then he says, now that we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, well, let's you and I go on and do what we should do. Let's not just have them up on the wall as examples of that's what it used to be like. May you and I be faithful in maintaining that witness before God. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why? Because he knew what would come afterwards. You see, when you have that practical patience, when you live for God, it has a power in the way that it changes and works within the soul of the individual. Earlier in the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter number 8, we're told that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Do you notice that? They bring forth fruit with patience. They keep on until they're fruitful. That's the good ground, the ground that brings some 100, some 60 euro, that ground that abundantly produces. But also it's a practical patience which is not only fruitful but faithful. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes,
there to the church in Thessalonica, a church he loved so much. And he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. He loved them so much because he knew that in the midst of all that they were laboring with hearts of love for God, there was that patience that enabled them through the hope that they had in Christ to keep on keeping on, despite all that they had faced and all that they might yet face, because that patience that sprung from their hope made them a faithful people despite all that came their way. And not only were they to be fruitful and faithful, but also fervent, to be those who didn't just sort of got by, but by the skin of your teeth sort of thing. You know, we can sometimes, you know, sort of just grit our teeth and bear it and, oh, I'll put up with it, but I won't like it. You know, that sort of attitude. But actually to maintain a fervency, a passion, a glorious love for God and for doing what pleases him. And so hear the Savior, as he looks to all that his disciples and the church that will do once he has gone to be again with his Father, he says, in patience possess ye your soul. What will keep you going in the midst of it all is that patience to endure, to be faithful and earnest in everything that you do. You know, that patience has a power. There's a Chinese proverb which says that by patience and time, the mulberry leaf becomes silk. And there's a change that can occur over time through patient and faithful endurance, where what seems so temporary and so prone to withering may be transformed into that which is beautiful and rich and vibrant and glorious and strong. And so here we see this patience and the power that it has to, under God's grace, make us what we should be. John Blanchard said, biblical patience is rooted not in fatalism that says everything is out of control. It is rooted in faith that says everything is in God's control. It is that sense that God is in control, and knowing that, we are willing to wait on his time and to wait patiently and not give up. And so with regards to that, we realize we have a firm purpose. We are going to keep the commandments of God. We're like Joshua in the Old Testament. Whatever anybody else does, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. We will do what pleases God. We will walk in the ways that honor God. If the rest of the world go in whatever direction, in patience, preserve, maintain, possess your soul. Be firm in sticking with the commandments of God. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. That's the following chapter from the one we read in Revelation 13. They're in Revelation 14 and 12. And it's really looking back to what was said in that previous chapter, in verse number 10, where as John is being given a picture of all the trials and the tribulations that will be overcome by God's people and the troubles that they will face. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. captivity. The sword. Here is the patience of the saints. Would you or I have stuck that part on the end? It takes the Holy Spirit to show us that in patience you possess your souls. In that faithful, enduring, and overcoming, and maintaining that exact determination to keep with God's ways, to have that firm purpose to do what God says, whatever the world does, whatever the opposition from the beast and everything else that seems to be set against the people of God. Here is the endurance of the saints. Here are the ones who are preserved and patient and keep faithful. And also they have this resolve. They will reject everything that's associated, whether it be with Antichrist or with anything that stands against God. So Revelation is making crystal clear. God's people will not give in. In the midst of all the trials, all the power that is exerted by ungodly hands, all the intimidation, all the peer pressure that comes from the overwhelming mass of unregenerate humanity, here is the patience of the saints. In patience, possess ye your soul. Go on with God, despite these other things. And stay faithful to him, come what may. You remember John, who says right at the beginning of the book of Revelation, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos. Why? For the word of God. And for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There he is. And he is saying to those he's writing to under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, I'm here because I share with you the trials and the difficulties that come in this world. I'm your brother and companion in tribulation. And we are called upon in days like this and in every day whenever God's people gather to in patience possess our souls, to endure the afflictions, to be faithful and to overcome them so that we actually mature through them and become what we should be and maintain our faithful adherence to Christ and his commandments, whatever the world will do. May the Lord enable you and I to do that. Because, my friend, it's not an easy thing. The trials that afflict the just in number many be. But thankfully, the Lord delivers us out of every single one of them, ultimately. So here is the Lord, and he's speaking to his people. He's speaking to you and me also in our day and generation to be patient, to be faithful, to be fruitful through grace. May it be so. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, how thankful we are to thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is able to strengthen us with might in the inner man. That our hope and our expectation is not rooted and grounded in ourselves, but it is in him, the one through whom we can do all things. Help us, O Lord, to hearken to the words of our Saviour. Help us, O Lord, in patience to possess our souls. Help us, O Lord, to shine before a watching world whose hearts are failing them for fear, whose imagination is that the only way of survival is to do what the world does. May they see that patience of the saints in us. May they see that faithfulness which will cause them to see and fear and trust in the Lord. Hear us, our God, we pray. Pardon our sins and receive our praise. And may all the glory be thine, for we ask it through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.